Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik. This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Step into the Prescription Shop, where they are more than just prescription medication. Joining me now is Director of the Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum, Sylvia Bruner. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Brady.
How you doing today?
Not bad. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. We had you a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
I believe it was, on kind of an impromptu come in and talk about your reaccreditation. Just
yep.
In case there's anyone that doesn't know about that, go ahead and hit on it and tell people what happened there.
Well, as a lot of folks know, the museum was accredited by the American Alliance of Museums back in the early 2000s. 2002 was when that was first achieved, and that was a really big deal at that time, of course. And that accreditation isn't permanent. You have to reapply, and during your years, even in between, which is the 10-year period for the reapplication, I don't know how to say this without sounding creepy. AAM is still kind of watching you. No, but they are. They're still kind of keeping tabs. You know, if there's something that comes out in the press, for instance, that, you know, something is being done unethically or wrong at the museum, they can actually suspend your accreditation status. So
well, who isn't watching you now? Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg's watching us right. Through Facebook, and people apparently are watching us through our smart televisions. It's an interesting time.
Yeah, I have a pretty boring life. I'm not sure anybody wants to watch that. But when it comes to the museum, it's, you know, it's kind of good to know that AAM does actually kind of keep that current in that tab and see what you're doing. So it's not like you just achieve this great big thing and then nobody is kind of verifying that you're continuing to live up to those standards. So it's an ongoing kind of process. And in 10 years, the museum here will go through the whole reapplication process again. But during that time, we plan to continue to, you know, work on exhibits, plan, grow, develop, etc. So it's been pretty exciting. It was a lot of work for a lot of people for this go around. You know, it's a long process. It takes almost 3 years to get through the reapplication process. So it's definitely made all of us feel really good that,
yeah.
You know what, it's like our gold star. We did it. We're going to celebrate it. May 19th, we have an exhibit opening and a reaccreditation celebration at the museum.
Okay.
So I know we'll have free admission. People come through and see the whole museum plus the new exhibit. We'll have refreshments and goodies and maybe some other fun activities. We've got some minds kind of working on what we can do.
Some things in the works.
Yeah,
the wheels
exactly.
are in motion.
You know, May is May is spring, and that means it could be beautiful or it could be an inside event only. We just don't know.
Yeah, that is very true and very true this spring, quote unquote,
yeah,
that we've
exactly.
seen so far. You mentioned this, so we'll touch on this before we get into the upcoming history conference. You mentioned that your exhibit's going to be opening in May. What's the new exhibit? Where are you on that?
Well, the old exhibit, which was only a year old, but the exhibit about the Wyoming state flag, it's pretty much all gone at this point. Spent some time this week and we pulled all of the information off the walls, and the artifacts that were borrowed from the State Museum are being sent back. And it's amazing how quickly an exhibit can come down compared to putting one in, but we're getting that space ready. I have a little bit of like touch-up paint and that kind of thing to do. And then
spackle.
Yep. Spackle. We literally have to move some walls. And of course these aren't permanent walls. They're meant to be moved back and forth, but they're still pretty difficult to move.
Sure.
So we'll have all hands on deck to get that accomplished. And then we can put up kind of a mock exhibit, and we'll have some folks hopefully come in. They're kind of a focus group idea. They'll give us feedback on what they think that we need to change or improve on our exhibit. If anybody's interested, by the way, in volunteering for that focus group, stop by the museum or give us a call, 684-9331. It doesn't matter if you haven't been to the museum before or if you have. If you have maybe a spare hour of your day sometime, we'll try and have it set up over a couple of days so that folks can come in at their convenience on their own time. Just go through what we have set up, and we'll have a questionnaire for them to fill out and we gain a lot of valuable experience and information out of those. So we really appreciate people being willing to do that for us.
Sure. And when we started, we talked a little bit about your reaccreditation. I just want to let people know, if they want to hear the entire interview from when we had you on a couple weeks ago, they can find that at our website, bighornmountainradio.com. It'll be in the community speak section, also in the local news section, so you can check that out.
Cool.
The other thing we're going to talk about here, Sylvia, is the historic Black and Yellow Trail History Conference that's coming up Saturday, the 28th.
Yeah, next, not this weekend, but the weekend
it's
after.
Quickly,
it's quickly
approaching.
Fast. Yeah. This is our annual history conference, which is held in the spring. And this year's topic, as you mentioned, is the historic Black and Yellow Trail. A lot of folks are familiar with that. The Black and Yellow Trail was a road system that started in Chicago and went to Yellowstone National Park. And that's where the name comes from, because it went through the Black Hills of South Dakota and Wyoming and then into Yellowstone. So the Black and Yellow Trail. Buffalo was on that trail. Basically, Highway 1416 in our area was part of that trail.
Okay.
There was kind of this whole system of road signs and, you know, waymarkers, etc. And in the museum, there's this large wooden sign in the shape of a bison, and it says Buffalo 20 miles to go. You know, and so that, I don't know which end that was on, if it was to our east or to our west, but it was 20 miles. Yep. There were a lot of people who had worked for a long time to really advocate for and develop road travel and tourism, especially in this area. In 1912, Buffalo hosted the Good Roads Convention. We have a couple of pictures that are kind of funny from that convention, because they're trying to secure good roads to get people to come through, but apparently they couldn't control the bad weather. The banners going over the top of Main Street are all twisted up, and it's windy, and you can tell it's just kind of a nasty
day. Windy in Wyoming?
I know. Who'd have thought? Our very own Jim Gatchell was actually one of the committee members on that. He was very involved in trying
That's
to bring
cool.
people through the area. Yeah. So there's a long history kind of centered around the highway system, motor tourism, etc. We have two speakers. Leonard Cash is from Newcastle, and he has been researching and talking about this subject for a very long time, so he's very knowledgeable about it. And Daniel Steffens from Evansville, Wisconsin is also coming. And they've kind of been coordinating between the two of them so that they don't have a lot of overlap between their two presentations. I think they're kind of physically dividing up the trail. Like, one's going to talk about, you know, the right half, and one's going to talk about the left half. The conference also includes heavy appetizers, beverages, etc. So you'll enjoy some delicious food prepared by the American Legion Auxiliary.
Heavy appetizers, is that like you pick it up and it weighs like 10 pounds? Or,
right.
Or it's like almost a dinner,
it's
but
it's almost
appetizers.
A light dinner in the form of appetizers.
I didn't know if I needed yes. to start lifting weights before I go to this thing or what?
No, last year we had the same thing and I was able to handle it. it was excellent food. The location is at the American Legion. It costs $25 per person, and that fee kind of covers all of our costs of bringing in speakers and purchasing food, etc. So you have today and tomorrow to buy your tickets. You can stop
or
by.
Are you left out?
Well,
you get in, but you're not getting any of those heavy appetizers.
Right, and they're pretty tasty. You want in on that. Stop by the museum or give us a call. Again, 684-9331. Even if you just really need to reserve your spot, but you can't bring cash till the day of, we could probably work with that. So just let us know, okay?
Gotcha.
It's going to be an interesting topic, and it's always kind of a fun time. So I'm looking forward to it.
And this is a few hours long. Looks like 5 to 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Not this Saturday, but next.
Yep. April 28th. Starts at 5.
Okay. Question about this trail. Does any part or how much of this trail still exist?
It really does still exist, but really in the form of like Highway 1416.
Okay. So
yeah.
it sort of exists, but it's in different
right.
form now.
Right. And that's, I think, pretty common regarding migration trails and things. So if you go back to the 1860s of the Bozeman Trail corridor is basically the I-90 corridor today.
Okay.
You know, a lot of those pathways were identified a long time ago.
Yeah, instead of trying to make it all an entirely new road, they've pretty much already made it. Just pave the thing, call it something, and let's go.
And the Bozeman Trail, honestly, was probably already a trail in use by area Native Americans. You know, the places to go physically had already been identified a long time ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the historic Black and Yellow Trail History Conference coming up Saturday, April 28th, 5 to 8 o'clock at the American Legion in Buffalo. Fee is $25 per person. You have today and tomorrow only to register. So get registered. And how do they do
that? That's right. They can either stop by the museum, give us a call at 684-9331, or you can always send us an email. My email is director@jimgatchell.com.
All right. Talking with Sylvia Bruner, director of Jim Gatchell Memorial Museum. Sylvia, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Keep it tuned, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.